So we are in the book Gan HaShalom, right at the beginning. Yesterday we started by looking at the intro which Rav Arush gives to the book, even before the introduction. So it's a pre-intro intro, which we looked at yesterday, where basically Rav Arush said yesterday that the job of a person, of a spouse, is to look at themselves and not look at the other person. Spoke yesterday about that. Today we're going to jump straight into the introduction. Before we even get anywhere, it's worth reading the introduction, or at least some of it, of Rav Arush. What does he say? He says as follows. Lifnei k'shloshim shana, more than 30 years ago, k'shayiti bachor be'tzayir, when I was a young man, bikashti mimori v'rabi, a Rav Eliezer Berland, I asked my rabbi, Rav Eliezer Berland, Shuta, Shiyajichoti likrat hanasuin shali, that he would instruct me regarding my wedding, my upcoming wedding. He went to his Rav, Rav Berland, and asked him for advice. Rav Natan li shtei etzot ketzalot. The Rav, Rav Berland, gave me, Rabbi says, two short pieces of advice. Aval yisodiot, but they were fundamental. And it became clear that they were rules for all of life. The two pieces of advice that he got from Rav Berland. This book, Rav Arush says, is built basically on those two pieces of advice that he received from Rav Berland. I took them on and I thought about them, I considered them, and I worked in order to fulfill them. From them, from these two pieces of advice, I merited to bring out all of these wonderful advices on Shalom Bayit. She'alafim v'rovot shel zugot nitzalu al yadam mechayim hamarim. That through those pieces of advice, thousands of couples have benefited to be saved from a bitter life. Shel chose shalom bayit, merivot sa'ar, geushim, saval amulot, v'zachu l'chaim me'usharim u'shlemim. And from them, these thousands of couples have succeeded to avoid arguments and strife, divorce, and to really merit to have wonderful lives. Kizotzu chim ladat atev. This is something that we need to know very well. She'bayit she'yesh bo shalom bayit. That a house which has in it shalom bayit, if shalom alav, you can say about it, she'agen eden hurek snif katan shel habayit hazeh. Rav Arush says that a house which has shalom bayit is a snif katan, a small branch, a snif, a small branch, a small piece of Gan Eden. And ki babayit hazeh chayim shel b'nei kol b'nei habayit hatuchusha shel Gan Eden b'olam hazeh. The people in that house, the beginning, page 16, the introduction. People in a house which has shalom bayit taste Gan Eden. Vahefech, the opposite is also true. Bayit shein bo shalom bayit hagehinom hurak snif katan, and a house which doesn't have shalom bayit, gehinom is just a small piece compared to what you have to suffer. Ki ein gehinom yisurim gedolim yoter miasher lechiyot b'chaseh shalom bayit. There's no greater gehinom, says Rav Shalom, and he knows what he's talking about, than not to have shalom bayit. Chas v'shalom. Tov. I think that's probably enough of the introduction. The rest of the introduction, he goes on to thank all the people that need to be thanked, but I think we can move on and go to Perek Rishon.
Instead of Shabbat, the biggest thing that he says in the Sefer is that your wife's voice is a ram call from Shemayim, is the loudspeaker from Shemayim. So if you don't listen to that voice, and you're negative that voice, then we're negative Hashem, and we don't believe in Hashem.
I'm sorry, I
heard
there was two pieces of advice and I didn't get what they were.
He didn't say what they were.
He said,
oh, okay.
I received two ask it.
But what he doesn't say is what those reasons are. Okay. So when we come to the end of the book, ask if we can find out the question. Now you've learned the book, what were those two pieces of advice?
Okay.
That's a show
we'll get there. No, you're right. What Mordechai is saying is that that a person needs to listen to their wife. In Likutei Moran, the advice of Rabbi Yitzhak Breiter, who wrote Seven Principles of Emunah, he writes in Blineder, the third one that I was learning recently. He says over there, how do you know that your wife is really telling you what is nevuah from Hashem? He says it's actually true. You actually learn that out from the Torah. You learn it out from the Gemara. The Gemara says that after the destruction of the Beit HaMidrash, nevuah was taken away, and it was given to children and shotim, those who don't have a mind, who don't have a da'at. And he said those who don't have da'at and children actually refers to your wife and kids. Right? Not chas v'shalom that a wife doesn't have a da'at, but in connection to her husband, she doesn't. She has bina, you have da'at. So it's a remez to the fact that it's your wife and your children are actually the ones with nevuah in this day and age. And if you listen to your wife and kids, you're actually just listening to the nevuah straight from Hashem. So, another reason to listen to your wife. Anyway, chapter one.
What are we learning? What's
Sefer? We're learning the Sefer Gan HaShalom, the Garden of Peace. I'm reading from the Hebrew. There's also the English translation. As Rav Dror mentioned, when he was talking about this year, he said it's very good for people to ask questions. But to comment, the shir should be not just be that I translate the book. Right? There was a translation very nicely done by Rabbi Brody. We go out for that. But more that it's share experiences and ask questions, etc. Sorry?
I don't read the English
book. Why don't I read from the English book? It's always better to hear from the mouth of the Rebbe. If possible. Person that can't read from Da, you should know. Shehadavah ha-chashuv biyoter ba'avodat Hashem, hu shalom bayit. Arish starts off the first perek by saying, should know that the most important thing in avodat Hashem is shalom bayit. The most important thing in avodat Hashem is shalom bayit. He's going to explain why, but in essence, shalom bayit is where a person is really tested. Person cannot be tested until they're married. There's no one to test you. Who are you going to be tested with? You're going to be tested with the bus driver? You're going to be tested with your roommate? With your chavuta? There's no real test in life. Test in life is with your bashert, your partner, your soulmate, when you've got to eye to eye deal with everything that comes to you. That's going to be your real test. That's your real test, not only in terms of our struggle, but in terms of how we're serving Hashem. How I serve Hashem is not really tested. When I'm davening shacharit, I'm not being tested. Yeah, fair, there's a test, and I need to have kavanah, and then I need to concentrate. Very nice. It's a test. Okay, when I learn Torah, it's also a test. I have to put my mind in it, I have to concentrate. I have to try not to be tired. That's also a test. But it's not real. It's not difficult. I'm going to learn more. I'm going to learn less. I'm going to concentrate more and concentrate less. It's not really the ikkar of my test in life. My test in life is going to really be in shalom bayit. That's where I really show what's really going on with me. Then I can't hide. Then the truth's going to come out. I can't lie to my wife. She knows me better than I know myself. There's no pretense. And that's my real avod. Why is that avodat Hashem? Isn't that just getting along with someone? Isn't that just kind of... No, it's avodat Hashem. It's mamash avodat Hashem. If Hashem is not in the picture, there's no shalom bayit. That's what we're learning. Right? A house with shalom bayit is a house where the Shekhinah is, where Hashem is dwelling. And I can only achieve shalom bayit if I'm with Hashem. If I'm humbling myself, if I'm accepting that I'm going to get rebuked sometimes, if I'm not rebuking back, if I'm every day have a smile on my face. Every day I'm trying my hardest. When I'm tired, when I'm hungry, when I've had no sleep, when I'm fed up, day in, day out, yom yom, that is the life you shall abide. And that's the real test. Peirce can be the biggest Torah scholar in the world. A person can do the most chesed he likes for other people. It's easy, relatively. But at home is where the real test is. That's when a person really knows if he's serving Hashem. Right? Heard that straight from Rav Shalom when he spoke in Yad Binyamin. Said the main test of a person is not how many masechtot they learned, not how many dafs of Gemara they've learned, not how much charity they've given, not even how many people they've helped. The real test is your shalom bayit. That's when you know whether or not you're actually doing what you're meant to be doing in this world. If everything is going according to plan, Hashem's going to give you shalom bayit. You're going to know Hashem is with you, Hashem is in your home, things are going well. And if not, it's not going to go well at home. And that's a sign for us that something's wrong fundamentally. It's going to be a great sign for us that we're not on the right path and we should stop kidding ourselves. Let's continue with the Rav. Lachen zehu davar shetzarecha ba'al lehashkia bo et kol kochotav. Therefore, if we've now said that this is the main avodat Hashem, then therefore this is the thing that the husband needs to invest all of his kochot in. Lachashkia bo kol kochot, Rav Arish says. He doesn't say a lot of kochot. He says kol kochot. All your energy should go into this. Meaning above everything else. This is the main thing. If I've got a choice of learning more Torah or working on my shalom bayit, shalom bayit's key. Right? If I've got a choice of doing chesed to my neighbor or looking after my wife, making sure she's okay, wife takes precedence. Kol hakochot. This is my ikar of avodat Hashem. I cannot fool myself and pretend that everything's great by ignoring my home. Chas v'shalom. V'zo mitzvah ikarit shemutelet alav l'meshech kol yimei chayav. This is the mitzvah, the main fundamental mitzvah, the ikar, that is he's dependent on him the whole of his life. Kol zman she'ein adam shalom bayit hu tzarich lashkia habeh limud utfilah. Al shalom bayit lasot et kol hamatzamim veshtaduliyot she'yeh lo shalom bayit. The whole time that a person does not have shalom bayit, a person needs to invest all the effort and all the study that he has and all the hishtadlut, all the practical effort in order to try and get it. Ki yeshna ta'ot ravachat. There is a widespread mistake that people make. She'adam choshev shehitaskuhu b'shalom bayit b'tzorachecha shalishto b'otzoneha v'chulei. That a person thinks that if he invests his time in shalom bayit, in the needs of his wife, in her desires, etc., kol elu hem bitul Torah u'bizbuz zman yakar. All these things are bitul Torah and a waste of time. Va'al pi amet ha'hefech hu nachon. And the truth is, Rav Shalom says, the opposite is correct. Adraba, on the contrary, zo'ika avodat Hashem shalom. This is really the ikar is avodat Hashem. Zeh ha'modet ha'ikari l'avodat Hashem shalom. It's the main measure of his avodat Hashem. This is a true project in life. If you want to have a project in life, make shalom bayit your project in life. Right? It's very nice to make your project in life learning shas. Your feet also good, but it's not the main thing. It's very nice to have a project in life to give lots of tzedakah. That's also very good, but it's not your main thing. The main project in life is at the home.
Doesn't cook for you, doesn't clean your house, doesn't go to work sometimes, or you sit and do the Torah, and that's the reason. It's the biggest reason for the Shabbat. So, life does everything. Every single thing.
Hine. Tachlika Adam liot davuk tamid v'ashem b'yibarach. Now we know, Rav Arish says, that the task, the purpose of a person in the world is to come close to Hashem, to cling to Hashem. That's why we're here. We're here to get close to Hashem. But Torah and mitzvotav, in his Torah and in his mitzvahs. Through his Torah, through his mitzvot, that's how we cling to Hashem. Lechora nire, sheyoter kal la'adam, la'agia la'tachlit zu, kasher hu ravak, v'bli ol shel isha. And it would seem logical, Rav Arish says, that in order to achieve that purpose in life, to cling to Hashem through his Torah and through his mitzvahs, it would be much easier to do so if you were single, right? Without the ol of the isha, the yoke of having a wife. In the secular language, the ball and chain, chas v'shalom, right? Without, and it's truth, right? It's an obligation. It's how can a person go and learn in the Beit Midrash when his wife needs him to go and do the shopping or to do other, inverted commas, meaningless things, right? Do the washing up, right? I want to serve Hashem. I want to be in tefillah, an hour of tefillah. How am I going to do an hour of tefillah when I need to change the diaper of the babe? It would seem much easier. Don't get married, stay single, and that's much easier to achieve your purpose in serving Hashem. Sounds good? Without the yoke of a wife, without the problems of Yiladim or Parnassah, Im Ken Hayah Shalomah Shewatson Hashem Yibarak Shisha Adam Ravak. If so, it might seem to us that actually it's the will of Hashem that we stay single. Hashem wants us to serve him the best we can. Obviously, we can do that the best possible way by being single and not having those unnecessary obstacles in the way of serving him. Maybe that's what Hashem wants. Shebachach yimaleh b'shleimot b'li hafra'ah et ratzon yibarach. We can then serve Hashem without all the interference. Shareimu v'gemara shanaseisha rechayim al tzvaro. Like it says in the Gemara, the person who marries a wife, he has a millstone around his neck. The Gemara says that. The Holy Gemara tells us that as soon as you get married, you have a millstone around your neck. Lichora. Why get married? It's a good question. Rav Arish asks and answers that question straight away at the beginning, because it's a very good question. Ach, lo kach hem pnei adamim. However, that is not the way you should look at these things. Sherei HaTorah mesaperet she'Hashem Yibarach he'anisha b'nei Aaron Nadav v'Avihu v'kach she'nisrafa b'nafsham. We learned in the Holy Torah, Kadosh, that the sons of Nadav and Avihu that we learned in the parasha a week or two ago that got burned up from bringing their incense. One of the reasons, given different reasons by the Mefarshim, but one of the reasons is that they didn't get married. Mikavan shelo nasu nashim, because they didn't get married. Kemuva b'zohar kadosh, like it was brought down in the Zohar. Af al pi shehayu tzadikim gedolim, ad shemoshe Rabbeinu ha'id shegedolim hem mimenu. They were tzadikim, gamorim. Even Moshe Rabbeinu said that Nadav and Avihu were bigger than him and Aaron. Gam al Hezekiyahu ha'melech nigzara gezeirat mita. Same is true about Hizkiyah. Hizkiyahu, King Hizkiyahu, also decided that he wasn't going to get married. Why not? Over there he decided he wasn't going to get married because he saw that there was going to be generations that came from him, a specific descendant that was going to be really bad, a Rasha. And he thought, better not to bring such a bad guy into the world. I'll not get married and that won't happen. Hashem punished him and said, no, for that, there's going to be Gezeirat Mita, a judgment of death on him, and even then he won't get into Olam Haba Chas V'Shalom, because he didn't get married. Right? So we see, Af Al Pi She'Kol Chayav Asak V'Limud V'Torah, even though all his life he studied Torah, U'Bezchuto Kol Yisrael Lamdu Torah, and in his merit, the whole of Am Yisrael studied Torah. He was a righteous king, and through him, the whole of Am Yisrael studied Torah. He was even fitting to become Mashiach. The Gemara over there asks why King Hizkiyahu didn't become a Mashiach. The reason it gives is because he didn't sing Shirah. That was the only reason, but apart from that, he was fitting to become Mashiach. Even as a result of such a high level he was, the fact that he didn't get married was a big, big mistake. But we still have the question, right? So even though we see the Torah with Nadav and Avihu, and the Gemara bringing, and the Tanakh of King Hezekiah, right? Where Hashem said, even though you were great, you really messed up by not getting married. But still the question exists, why? Why does a person need to get married? Why is there an obligation to get married? Or why were people, even though they were great, that they didn't get married, why were they punished with such a strong punishment? Rav Arish strengthens the question by saying, the whole reason why these people chose not to get married was only L'shem Shamayim. They thought that they could serve Hashem better. And even though they were doing it L'shem Shamayim, not like people who just want to have a good time. Tov, they've got who to answer to. But people who were actually doing it L'shem Shamayim not getting married, they were punished in such a severe way. U'bachach lidvag b'shem yibarach ulit natek mechaya olam hazeh. Why then does Hashem make it so important that a person marries a wife? When carrying out this mitzvah actually brings a person to be connected to this world and not to the next world, surely Hashem's desire is that we're connected to Olam Haba, to the mitzvah, to the Torah. And instead, when a person marries, it seems the opposite. Instead of being connected to Hashem, and connected to Torah, and connected to Mitzvah, I'm connected to the most, let's say, base issues of humanity. To be with a woman, to face all the issues of relationships with a woman, and even not on that level, to have to deal with the shopping and the cleaning and the cooking, all the physical things of this world that come along with a woman. Surely, let's stay in the Beit Midrash. Hatshuva l'sheila zohi. The answer to the question is as follows: Shetachlit buriat olam, that the purpose of the creation of the world, kiyum haTorah, the fulfillment of Torah, mimela gamika Hanisayon shel Adam, and apparently also the main tests of man, Matchil Raka she Adam itchaten, they begin only when a person marries. The main test that a person has in life, and the reason why the world was created to fulfill the Torah, only begins once you get married. Va'af Adam eino yachol letaken et atzmo. And even that a man is not able to fix himself, the taken, right? Ulhagia lekiyuma Torah, and to reach the fulfillment of Torah, be'emet, truly, b'li she'yitchaten, without getting married. V'yelo shabam, and that there will be to him shalom bayit. Shalom bayit, getting married and achieving shalom bayit, is the fulfillment of the creation of the world. That's what Hashem created the world for. It was Shalom Bayit. Ki im hu nasui ve'ein lo Shalom Bayit. Because if a person is married and he does not have Shalom Bayit, l'shem ma hu chaten, why did he bother getting married? Kedei la'asot aveirot u'letza'er et ishto, in order to do aveiras and to upset his wife. The whole purpose of getting married is only to have Shalom Bayit. There's no point getting married if you're not having Shalom Bayit. If you get married and you don't have Shalom Bayit, you've missed the boat. There's no point in getting married at all. getting married was not a help. Getting married just took you away from Torah, took you away from mitzvot, took you away from all of that purpose. But Hashem said, no, even though it's going to do that, I'm going to command you to get married nonetheless. Therefore, the fact that you now got married, and I brought you away from the Torah, mitzvot, etc., into the physical world, the only reason I did that was so that you had shalom bayit. Because otherwise, what was the point? It didn't help. On the contrary, it just made you worse. It took you out of the main midrash, it took you away from your studies, and it just meant that you were causing another person, at least one other person, if you didn't have kids, at least one other person you're just causing pain and suffering to. That's for shalom. Right? So, shalom bayit is the ikkar. I'm causing you to get married. I'm commanding you to get married. And what's the purpose if you don't have shalom bayit? You've just missed the whole boat. And since the fact that without getting married, a person can't fulfill the Torah, and the world can't reach its purpose. You can't have tikkun olam if a person doesn't get married. Therefore, Rav Arish says, you can learn out that there's no greater sin than this. Shadam hofech en metziyoto bolam lemiyutaret. That a person turns the world on its head. He ruins the whole reality. The reality of the world is that Hashem created the world in order that people would get married and have shalom bayit. And to go against that is to turn everything on its head. Chas v'shalom. Unasbir zot al pish shnei mishalim. Shehem amnam dimyonim. Ach hametziot hameutavet bahem eina dimyonot klav. Kol echad yechol lirot et atzmo bahem. So Rav Arish says, so now I'm going to explain to you this idea in two examples, two mashalim. These mashalim, you should know, are dimyonim, they're imaginations. They're just ledugma, they're not true. You're going to see that they're just stories made up about two different people. But you say everyone should still find themselves in these stories because they hold to be the truth. A person can learn out from these two examples that I'm going to give now the essence of what we're talking about. But Bezrat Hashem, we're going to come up to those stories tomorrow. We don't have time to dip into the stories. Yes?
Big question. I don't know. I mean, this is probably, you would think this is an individual thing, but based on this idea, a person who wants to have children, according to this, it sounds like it would be better for him if he finds somebody who's good for him to marry and he thinks, I can make this woman happy, we'll have shalom bayit, he should just marry her even though she won't have kids, versus waiting and saying, no, you know, I could make a life with this woman, but I'm not going to do it because I want to have children. So I'm going to keep looking around. He's an older person.
So the question is whether or not he should marry a woman who cannot have children.
In other words, yeah, because according to this, the whole point is shalom bayit. But here he can have shalom bayit with a woman, but he won't have children. So maybe he should do that rather than keep looking.
There's a separate obligation on a man to have children, right?
Right,
it's one of the mitzvah puru v'vu. And a person should not... I'm not a rabbi, I'm not giving a psak halakha, right? But a person, generally speaking, should not put himself in a position where he cannot fulfill mitzvahs, right? So by marrying someone who can't have children, he's putting himself in a position where he can't fulfill the mitzvah. So it's not ideal.
No, but what I'm saying is, let's say he has would have great difficulty finding someone who can make shalom bayit.
Okay,
he's not an easy person to get along. He found somebody, with this woman, I know it'll work. But so, most women, not. So he should
ask a question of a rav with shoulders big enough to answer that. In general terms, my opinion is that a person is lying to themselves if they think that out of, I don't know how many billion people there are in the world. So let's keep Jews. We don't have to go to the possibilities of converts as well. But just in the Jewish world, there's at least 6 million Jewish women out there. Some of them are married and some of them are too young, but there's still a fair chunk that are available to him. More than that, we have to say that Hashem is unlimited. Even if there was only two women in the world, if I pray to Hashem and I believe that Hashem can do anything, then I can marry any either one of them. I'm not fixed on that there's only one woman in the world and this is it, and I know it. Hashem can fix me up with anyone.
So I mean, statistically,
he has less.
Right, he has less.
He has less.
Also, he's difficult to get along with.
The reason he's difficult to get along with is something that he needs to work on. Right?
Sure, but
and
I mean,
if he works on himself, he can. Rav Arish says that a person can have shalom bayit with the devil.
With a what?
The devil. If a person follows the guidelines that he sets out in his book, you can have shalom bayit with the devil. Right? There is no. Right, no one has to kind of like put their hand up and say yes, I can confirm that's true. Right? But the essence of getting married. Right, we spoke about this a little bit yesterday, but the essence of getting married is not to find the perfect woman. There is no such thing as finding the perfect woman. It doesn't exist. It's a fantasy created by Hollywood and created by all the nonsense of this world. There is no such thing. And even if there was, it's not my duty to find her. We find nowhere in the Torah, HaKadoshah, or in the words of our holy rabbis, that a person needs to go look for a perfect woman. No one has ever suggested such a ridiculous notion. No. They tell us to go and get married. To find someone who's suitable, and that's it. Marriage is not based on making sure that you were perfect beforehand. Marriage is based on finding someone that I can grow with, that together we can work on our midot. If I'm already perfect and she's already perfect, there's no point getting married. Half of shalom bayit is together working through my problems and her problems and making them right. If I wait till I'm perfect, there's no point. It's never going to happen anyway because I can't become perfect. My rabbi just told me in the first chapter that I can't work on my midot. I can't fix myself if I'm not married. I can fool myself, but I'm not actually going to have feedback, true feedback. If I ask my chavruta, how do you think my level of kindness is going? I bought you a coffee, or I bought you a lunch today, or I complimented you on your really good drosh that you just gave me on that piece of Gemara. It's not true. I can't learn from that whether or not I'm actually a Baal Chesed. How am I going to know if I'm really a Baal Chesed? When I'm up for the 15th night in a row, with no sleep, with screaming babies, with bills around my neck, with my wife rebuking me, and now I'm going to make her a cup of tea and smile. Then I know whether I'm a Baal Chesed. Yofi. Bezrat Hashem. We should continue tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Go ahead.